Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Lunch with Pastor Linda. It's another wonderful day. I thank God that California, well, I should say Stockton, is getting a little bit of rain. It rained real good last night, and it looks like it's still sort of trying to continue to rain. And so I thank God for that. Hopefully we can get out of this drought, get enough rain to at least bring us back to normal. But we're going to talk about our topic, which we've been going over a post of a friend of mine who is posting from Utmost for His Highness. And today we're going to talk about God's overpowering purpose. That sounds like a good topic. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a good one to me. And so here we have, and if you notice, I'm a little bit mellower than I normally am. And that's because it's raining outside. You know, when it's raining outside, you just want to be chilled. So this is the chill, Pastor Linda. So here we go. God's overpowering purpose. The vision Paul had on the road to Damascus was not a passing emotional experience, but a vision that had very clear and empathic directions for him. And Paul stated, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," Acts 26:19. Our Lord said to Paul, "In fact, your whole life is to be overpowered and subdued by me. You are to have no end, no aim, and no purpose but mine." The Lord also says to us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You should go," John 15:16. When we are born again, if we are spiritual at all, we have visions of what Jesus wants us to be. It is important that I live not to be disobedient to the heavenly vision, not to doubt that it can be attained. It is not enough to give mental assent to the fact that God has redeemed the world, nor even to know that the Holy Spirit can make all that Jesus died a reality in my life. I must have the foundation of a personal relationship with him. Paul was not given a message or a doctrine to proclaim. He was brought into a vivid, personal, overpowering relationship with Jesus Christ. Acts 26:16 is tremendously compelling to make you a minister of a to make you a minister and a witness. There would be nothing there without a personal relationship. Paul was devoted to a person, not a cause. He was absolutely Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ's. It means he belonged to Jesus, my Lord. He saw nothing else, and he lived for nothing else. "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. "My life is not my own. To you I belong. I completely give myself, my life to you." Now, let's talk about this, because many of us, we say that we are wholeheartedly serving the Lord, or, you know, we wholeheartedly give our life to God. And I believe that when we say things like that, we absolutely mean them. But at the end of the day, when God asks us to do something that we don't want to do, we can tend to be a little bit forceful in rejecting what God wants. And so I am concerned about our commitment level Let me just take you out of the picture and just talk about me. Sometimes my commitment level to God concerns me because, yes, when it's easy, when everything is going well, it's easy for me to say, yes, Lord. In the midst of a service when the emotions are high and the spirit is high and the anointing is flowing and, you know, you forget that you have obstacles and problems and situations and circumstances, and you know, you forget the outside world because you're caught up in the spirit, it's easy to say, yes, Lord, and you truly mean it at that moment. But then when you walk out of the church doors and you get into your life, your everyday life, and things don't seem to go as quickly as you thought or as well as you thought, or you know, there's something that seems to be haunting you and making you feel like less than, that you're not accomplishing, that, you know, maybe I didn't really hear God in that moment. Those type of things then cause us to kind of step away. But if we are like Paul, then we are saying to ourselves, you know what, I cannot do what I want to do. I can't do it because it feels good. I can't do it because it looks good. I can't do it because it's going to get me a quote-unquote platform or a quote-unquote name or a quote-unquote popularity. I can't do that. I can't just live for God because I think I'm going to get something better out of it. I have to live for God. For God I live, for God I die. It has to be something that it's regardless of what comes my way, I'm going to hold fast to the confession of my faith. I'm going to hold fast to what God has called me to do. I'm going to hold fast to what God has shown me. I'm going to do this because if you read about Paul, he was beaten, he was jailed, he was, you know, taunted by the people of God. You know, Jews were following him and saying that what he was preaching was wrong and they needed to do it this way. You know, he had a lot of issues going on. It wasn't an easy road for Paul or any of the disciples, really, to live according to what God called them and what God purposed them. But Paul was determined to do just that. He was determined to do just that. Come what may, I'm going to do it. And so today I want to leave you with this. Are you willing, come what may, to be what God says? We sing that song, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. But do we really give ourselves away? Do we really give ourselves away so we can be used of God? You know, we say, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. All of my hopes, all of my dreams, I give them all to you. But do we really do that? Do we really do we give up our right to be right? Do we give up our right to get, you know, be able to get back at someone that's wronged us? Do we give up our right to live for God the way God wants us to live so we can see the glory of God in our life? Do we do that? No, we don't. Because as soon as it gets hard, we run the other way. As soon as it gets hard, we're ready to throw in the towel. And maybe you have a little more fortitude about yourself, and it's not at the first sign of trouble that you want to give up. But maybe it's the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the hundredth, the thousandth time that trouble comes your way, and it seems like it's coming like Job, one after another and back to back, and you can't seem to get a breather, and you're trying to tread water, and your head keeps going up under, and you're like, God, this is the last time. If I don't give up this, I'm going to drown. If I don't get out of this situation, I'm going to drown. And so God is not doing it, and you're feeling this, and the pressure is there, and so I give up. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to go and have an easier life. I want to go and do things my way. So here it is. I'm going to end with the same words that Pastor Trina ended with. My life is not my own. to you I belong. I completely, irrevocably, I added that word, give myself, my life to you. No take backs, no do-overs, no can I get another chance. I just give my life to you, and I do your purpose in my life. You be blessed. You be encouraged.